The word of God given us today is Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. Allow me to read. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Amen. Paul, who started the second mission trip with Silas, left Antioch to northern Syria and headed for the west, and Derbe and Lystra, going through Cilicia, in which Paul's hometown located. And on the way, he visited all the churches and strengthened the faith of the members. In order to get to southern Cilicia from Syria, one must go over high mountains and lofty hills of the Amanus. Paul and Silas crossed the mountains, which seemed too high to drive even today by walk. For Paul, however, it was not his first time going over the Amanus. Paul had crossed the Amanus three times before. The first time was when Paul left for Jerusalem to study. Devout Jews had their sons make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem at their age of around 15. Since it is a pilgrimage, they had to visit Jerusalem on foot. Paul also should have walked around 700 kilometers from Tarsus to Jerusalem at the age of 15 or so. But Paul did not go back to Tarsus, his hometown, and instead studied in Jerusalem as a student of Gamaliel, the most prominent teacher of the law at the time. When crossing the Amanus to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem at age 15 and study under the great teacher of the law, Gamaliel, with the dream of the best leader of the Judaism, Paul's move must have felt powerful on his feet with hope. But it was nothing more than a march toward self-injury. After finishing study under Gamaliel, Paul was able to firmly establish himself in the circle of Judaism at age 20. But what he did was only deny Jesus Christ, persecute churches and Christians. That was nothing but self-injury, ruining his life before God. The second time Paul crossed the Amanus was when he went back to his hometown, Tarsus. Attracted by Jesus to become a Christian on the road of Damascus, Paul wanted to live as a missionary, spreading the gospel in Jerusalem. God, however, did not let him do so. It was even hard for him to stay alive from threatening Christians who saw Paul as a betrayer. He could not help but go over high mountains and lofty hills of the Amorites to his hometown Tarsus and stay there for as many as 13 years. Paul, who once crossed the Amorites with ambitions, had nothing accomplished and went over the Amorites again just to go back to his hometown with empty hands. His step at the time must have been that of a failure. However, Paul's step, which looked that of a failure to people, actually was part of a march toward a new creation in God and by God. When Paul went over the Amorites for the third time, it was 13 years after that. When Paul was recreated by God during the 13-year stay in hometown, the Lord called Paul through Barnabas to become a co-minister of the Antioch Church. Until then, Paul had no experience as a minister. He never had a plan to become a minister. But Paul obeyed God's call and crossed the Amorites for the third time. It was a touching march toward future, which was prepared by God. And now, Paul crosses the Amorites for the fourth time for his second mission trip. The second mission trip was different from the first one in that he went Europe, going through Asia and the Aegean Sea. With no imagination, Paul was crossing the Amorites for the fourth time in order to renew Europe, Asia, and the history of the human being. It was a miraculous march, taking himself to God's providence. As such, although Paul went over the Amorites for four times, the meaning of crossing over the mountains was different every time. Except the first, when he crossed mountains with self-ambitions and ended it with vain self-injury, the meaning of crossing the same mountains continuously changed. Since it was God who led him to go over the Amorites, a new providence of God was revealed in his life each time he crosses the mountains. As I told you when we study Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we are crossing the mountains of life every day as well, because our life is repeated day by day. Only the result changes depending on what the repetition is for. If we cross mountains of life every day for our aspirations, it could not help but end as a self-injury, as Paul did at first, no matter how great the ambition was. On the contrary, If we cross mountains of life every day for God, the meaning would not change and develop instead of just being repeated without meaning. It is because, different from humans who age and weaken day by day, the providence of God, which is beyond our imagination, is new all the time. Today's text, Acts chapter 16, first, starts as follows. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra. Since our Bible says, and then to Lystra, it seems that Paul happened to visit Derbe and Lystra. But in the original Greek version, there is Ais before Derbe and Lystra, which means that Paul did not went to Derbe and Lystra by accident, but intended to go there. The reason why Paul planned to have the second mission trip was to revisit cities where he spread the gospel in the first trip. However, since Barnabas was headed for Cyprus first, one of stops of the first trip, Paul had to go to today's Turkey toward the north and went from the east to west, contrary to the first trip, and visited Derbe and Lystra, the last stop of the first mission trip. We are all aware that what happened in Derbe and Lystra at the time of the first mission trip. In the first mission trip, Paul moved from the west to north and thus visited Lystra first. In Lystra, Paul made a congenitally paralyzed man from his waist stand up with the power of Jesus Christ. Seeing that people of Lystra thought Paul to be a god and tried to worship him, Paul had to stop them tearing his clothes. Soon after, Jewish people who came there from Pisidia, Antioch, and Iconium after Paul to kill him, incited people of Lystra and the people of Lystra threw stones with Jewish people to Paul. The stoning was so hard that people thought bloody Paul was dead and dragged him outside the city and abandoned. Paul was alive, but with such a wounded body, without being treated, went to Derbe, the last stop of the first mission trip, to spread the gospel. It was time for Paul to take some rest in his hometown more than ever. However, Paul did not go to his home for his convenience, even when he was so close there. Paul went back from Derbe in order for those who welcomed the gospel for him to strengthen their faith.
Thank you.
Paul revisited Lystra on his second mission trip. Lystra was the place where he was stoned hard, almost to death. Those who stoned him didn't move away at all. They still lived there when Paul visited there again. It means that he could be stoned again and dead, even with a little fault. He shouldn't have visited those dangerous places unless he was out of his mind. Nevertheless, Paul visited Lystra again. It must be that he was okay, even if he was stoned to death. It was because his dedication to his calling was much stronger than danger and threat in reality. The one who called Paul was not a man whose body will soon be destroyed when his breath stops. The one who called Paul was Jesus Christ, who died as the sacrifice on the cross for his sin and rose from the dead. As long as he followed his calling, nothing could be in his way, not to mention any danger and threat in reality. And it is natural to see that the Lord fulfilled his will through Paul with strong dedication to his calling. The Lord, who called Paul, also called each of us. Therefore, if we live with a strong dedication to the calling from the Lord, even if there are dangers and threats, we are able to renew this world in the Lord. It is because, although we are small and weak, the Lord who called us and worked through us is Emmanuel God, who resurrected from death. Verse 1 continues as follows. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. There was a young man named Timothy. His mother was a Jewess and a believer. Jews are automatically become Judaist by birth. But the reason why she was referred to as a believer was that she was a Christian who converted from Judaism. Different from many other Jewish women, she got married to a Greek man, a Gentile, and gave birth to Timothy. In other words, Timothy was a child with a mixed blood, that is, Gentile blood. According to verse 3, Paul was accompanied by Timothy as an assistant when he left Lystra. Since then, the name of Timothy had been appeared in Paul's every letter. Especially 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy in the New Testament are letters only for Timothy. Paul called Timothy son in his letters. Even though he had many co-workers throughout his life, Timothy was the only one he called son. When Paul chose Timothy as his assistant, Timothy was around 18, according to many scholars. He was just a teenager. Let us see how he is described in verse 1. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. In the text, young Timothy was referred as a disciple. Of course, it means a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amy, Greek be verb, was used as past imperfect. Imperfect tense means repeated action. In Greek grammar, it means that Timothy was not a Jesus disciple for a moment, but has lived as a Jesus disciple for his entire life. So verse 2 testifies like this: the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Not only people in Lystra, his hometown, but also those in Iconium, which was 30 kilometers away from Lystra, spoke well of him. Greek version of being spoken well of is written in imperfect tense. It must be that he had lived an exemplary life people always spoke well of. In a word, he was a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We can infer since when Timothy began his life as a disciple of Jesus. Lystra was the first place Paul preached the gospel first on his first mission trip. Timothy received the gospel and became a Christian at that time. He must have witnessed Paul being dragged to the outside of the city after stoned almost to death. He was assured that he had to risk his own life to live as a Christian. Nevertheless, he had lived as a disciple of Jesus and a true Christian since he received the gospel. What is important is that the name of Timothy is introduced as a disciple of Jesus from the first in verse 1. Lystra, hometown of Timothy, was not as big as Tarsus or Antioch. Lystra, located in the middle of Turkish Peninsula, was a very small town in Roman Empire. Since ancient Roman towns were built with stones, Most of their pillars and foundation stones are left. However, there is no trace of Lystra. Which means it was such a small town 2,000 years ago. Most of Romans at that time hardly noticed the existence of this town. But the Bible precisely testifies that there lived 18-year-old young Timothy as a true disciple of Jesus in that mere little town. How could the Bible describe the life of Timothy in a little town in such detail? The Bible is God's words, isn't it? God knew who Timothy was and how he had lived. Although people in the world did not know Lystra and Timothy. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Even before my mother got pregnant with me, God already knew me and set me apart as his child. We are not born coincidentally, but were created based on his plan. Therefore, since he created each one of us, he watches over us right next to each one of us. So even though people in this world don't know us, God knows everything about us. Don't you think that there must be Steve Jobs of that age 2,000 years ago in Roman Empire? How about sensational items like smartphones, famous actors, hilarious comedians? People in that age also were excited about luxurious items and gossiped celebrities and business conglomerates. And there was also a godlike Roman emperor. Compared to all of these, 18-year-old Timothy from Lystra, a small town, was almost nameless. But God knows well about him, because God had always watched over him. So God introduced him as a disciple called Timothy through the verse and let him be a co-worker for Paul. This fact really encourages and strengthens us. Even though nobody in this world knows me,
all
God knows my life following His calling. Isn't it really encouraging and filling us with hope for the future? How could young Paul live like a loser for 13 years in his hometown, Tarsus? Paul believed that God knew him and God would fulfill his will. People cannot imagine through his hermit-like life. On his second mission trip, how could Paul revisit Lystra, where he was stoned almost to death on his first trip? Paul knew that God watches over him and would take care of everything for him. As a result, Acts doesn't talk about famous figures. Rather, it shows us in detail the life of nameless people like Paul. God wants us to realize that He watches over each one of us, hurt and wounded as living a life of His disciple, and that He would eventually fulfill His will through us in His right time. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, when we have to meditate and commemorate the suffering of Jesus Christ for our sin and death. Compared to celebrities of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, located in the outskirts of the empire, raised in Nazareth, a poor town, and worked in Galilee, a slum area, was almost a nameless figure. However, we know the life of Jesus Christ very well, even though we don't know about the life of Roman empires and conglomerates and other celebrities. It is because God shows us the life of Jesus Christ precisely in the Bible as it is. Believing in Jesus Christ itself encourages and gives us the hope for the future. Believing in Jesus Christ means believing that God, who sent Jesus to us, watches over our lives and knows us. On this third week of Lent, let us repent that we did not believe in God, who knows each one of us and watches over us. Since God knows us, and watches over us. The high and lofty mountains of life are not obstacles, but a gateway toward a new future. Since God knows us and watches over us, we can be used as God's instrument, even though we are mere creatures, just like 18-year-old Timothy from Lystra. Since God knows us and watches over us, our life has an absolute meaning by God, even when we are stoned from the world like Paul. Since God knows us and watches over us, we are able to be resurrected like Jesus Christ by God, even though no one knows if we died for God. Therefore, loving God is the only way to love ourselves. Let us pray. Timothy was an 18-year-old young man from Lystra, a little nameless town. He witnessed Paul being dragged and thrown away after being stoned because he preached gospel. He knew that he could be like Paul, but he had lived as a true disciple of the Lord since he received the gospel. God knew him and watched over him. God called him and let him be Paul's co-worker. Paul visited Lystra again voluntarily, even after he was stoned, because he believed that God knew him and watched over him. Although his life had been written with ordeals and pain, God had renewed this world through him. The life of Jesus Christ, who lived in Galilee, a slum, was shabby and miserable compared to that of celebrities of Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, no one knew that he died because of their sin as the Savior for us. They thought that he died for his own sin. However, God, who knew and watched over Jesus Christ, elected him as the eternal Savior for all the people in the world by showing us his life, suffering, and resurrection through God's words, the Bible. God created us, called us, knows us, and watches over us always. But we don't believe these facts. Please forgive our disbelief. Let us believe that even though we are mere and almost useless, we can be used as your instrument, and our everyday lives can become meaningful since God knows and watches over us. Let us not forget that loving Trinity God is the only way to love ourselves, our family, and work, and this society, and this age. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.